Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for September 4th, 2017. On today's show, since it's a holiday, we're just bringing you a mailbag segment. We're going to be talking about TV series that were canceled or ended way too early. On today's show, I am joined by Ben Pearson.
Hey, what's up?
And Bradford Oman.
Hey, that's me.
And of course, this is Peter Soretta. Let's jump into the mailbag, guys. Eric from San Jose, California, writes in and asks, I recently came infinitely late to the party and watched Deadwood for the first time, and now sits on the top of my list, along with Terriers, of TV series that were canceled way too early. What are some of your favorite TV series that were canceled or ended way too early? I'll start this off. He mentions Terriers, and that was one of the first that comes to my mind. That's the first show. All right, it stars Donald Logue, who for the longest time was one of those guys that if you cast him in your movie or cast him in your TV show, it meant that it was going to get canceled or not do well at the box office. And, I mean, eventually he was in Gotham, and that has yet to be canceled, so that has stopped that.
Broken the curse.
Broken the curse. But Terriers is a great show. It takes place in San Diego. It's him as a private investigator. You should check it out. It's a short run. It's Sean Ryan, the guy that did The Shield. It's great, even though it never got a second season. It's one of the TV shows I recommend to everybody. And I think the reason why it never caught on is the title of it's horrible. Like, the title of it, Terriers, has nothing to do with the show. And I think it was just mismarketed.
Terriers actually makes me think that Perrier needs to make a sparkling water geared towards dogs and called it Terrier.
Ben, what is one of your choices for TV series that were canceled or ended way too early?
So I'm going to go with one of the staples of this particular category, and that would be Freaks and Geeks, the comedy series that ran for only one season and launched the careers of James Franco and Seth Rogen and a ton of people. It's like insane going back now and watching that show and seeing, you know, a young Martin Starr and all of these people who, and a tiny Shia LaBeouf makes a cameo in there in one episode, Ben Foster in there too. These are like nothing characters in the grand scheme of the show, but it's really incredible what Paul Feig and Judd Apatow were able to pull together behind the scenes making this show. And it's just one of those things that feels real. It's a period piece, but it's relatable for everyone, even if you didn't grow up, you know, in the Midwest or wherever the show takes place, in sort of middle America. I think it's Michigan, actually. There's so much relatable stuff in there. It's just about childhood and growing up, and it's hilarious. And the guy who played Biff in Back to the Future plays a gym coach. I mean, these are just like small characters, but it all comes together in this really, really entertaining show that was definitely canceled too soon. It's one of those that's like, man, I wonder what they could have done with just a couple more years of that. So yeah, I would definitely recommend checking that one out if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Freaks and Geeks would have been on my list. It was a show that I didn't discover until DVD, I think.
I feel bad. I'm the same way. I didn't watch it when it was airing, and I know that's why it got canceled, so I feel bad coming to it late, but it's such a good show.
Brad, what is your pick?
One of my picks is Reaper, which was a series that aired on the CW for a couple seasons back in 2007 to 2009. It was this kind of supernatural horror comedy that followed Brett Harrison as this guy who kind of has no direction, and he ends up endowed with the powers to see these hellish visions and see these monsters that nobody else can see. And so it begins this sort of like misadventure of him with his two friends who work at a nearby retail store, and they get caught up in all these like deadly creatures that are being basically controlled by the devil, who's played by Ray Weiss. It all sounds really ridiculous when you describe it, but but the show was not only funny, but it had cool monsters and interesting visual effects, and it was just a lot of fun. Tyler Lee Bean was in it, and so was Rick Gonzalez, who've both gone on to have pretty decent careers in TV and like small parts in movies.
See, I'd say Tyler Lee Bean is just like Donald Logue in that he is he's cursed. I feel like everything he's in, even if it's good, even if it's like Tucker and Dale versus Evil, it doesn't do well.
Yeah, but the show is really fun. I've rewatched the two seasons, and I still really enjoy it, and I wish they would have gotten to stick around, especially because after the second season, it seemed like it was going to lead into some cool stuff for a third season, but it just never happened.
Ray Wise is particularly good in that. I think Kevin Smith might have even directed the pilot to that, if I remember correctly. One of the ones on my list is a show called Journeyman, which I think was also 2007. And that was like a time travel show. A man travels back in time to help people in trouble. It had Kevin McKidd. It's hard to describe why it was great, but when it got more into serialized elements, it started to get really good. And it was set in San Francisco. You know what? I haven't seen it in such a long time, so I can't even remember why I liked it so much. But I do remember that it being one of those shows that when it was canceled, and it was on that from the first time it aired, it was kind of like one of those shows that was like on the edge of being canceled every episode, you know, that came out. So I think they may have even done a comic book series with it after it was canceled. Have either of you seen Journeyman?
No,
I have not.
Ben, what is your next pick?
So my pick is similar to what you're talking about, where it's been so long since you've seen it, you can't quite remember exactly why you love it. But nonetheless, Daybreak, the 2006 ABC series, is the one that came to mind. This was one of the first shows I remember getting really into, and then it being sort of taken away from me, what I thought was unjustly at the time.
Is that one of those shows that came after Lost?
I mean, technically, because Lost premiered in 2004, and this was 2006, so yeah. It was the concept is like a Groundhog Day kind of thing, where Taye Diggs plays a detective who is accused of killing an assistant district attorney, and he relives the same day over and over again and slowly uncovers this conspiracy, and the whole thing is about him having to figure out who framed him for this crime. So I can see how ABC probably saw the massive success of Lost early on and was like, okay, give us more high concept stuff, and this may have been, you know, one of the beneficiaries of that mentality. But the show was canceled after only six episodes, and it had, I think, seven more that aired only on ABC.com. And I don't even know if I knew that until I looked it up to talk about it today. So I was just under the impression that, like, well, the show only had its six episodes and didn't really wrap up in any sort of satisfying way. But looking at it now, it seems like they at least, you know, tied the whole story together and wrapped up that first season. So it sort of works as a singular piece on its own. So it was streaming on Netflix not too long ago. I'm not sure if it still is now, but it might be worth looking up if anybody's interested in throwing it back to the good old days of 2006 and watching Taye Diggs playing a lead character. I mean, I guess that's something notable about it, giving a black character a main leading role in 2006 was a bigger deal then than it is now. And even now it doesn't happen that often. So especially for like a mainstream broadcast network. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Brad, what is your next choice?
My next choice is The Chicago Code, which was a show that was on Fox for a while.
I love that show.
It's so good.
The first episode of that show has a great twist, and I wish that had kept on going. I think that's another Sean Ryan show, I think.
Mm-hmm. It is another Sean Ryan show, and it's fantastic. It only lasted for a single season, which was a huge bummer. Jason Clark was on the show. He was pretty much the main character, and he was outstanding in it. It made me excited for anything Jason Clark did after that, after the show was canceled, because he was so good on the show. I was so bummed that it got canceled, because it was not your typical crime procedural. It had a serial arc. It was all about the corruption of the law enforcement that exists in the government and police squad of Chicago. It was just a great series. There was compelling drama. The acting was awesome. The writing was great. And I was so bummed that it got canceled.
Was Delroy Lindo one of the bad guys in that show? Is that right?
I mean, everyone kind of had like a dark side to them. Because he was the alderman on the show.
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest corrupt people in the government.
Yeah, man. I remember that. I love that show.
Another show on my list is the show Awake from Kyle Killen. It was a 2012 show starring Jason Isaacs, who suffers a car accident that takes the life of a family member. He's a police detective that is now living two alternating parallel lives, one with his wife and one with his son. Which reality is a dream? Which one is real? It got really interesting because this is a serialized show, and things he would see in one reality would inform things that happen in the other reality, if that makes sense. So you were learning, stuff about the cases that he's working and what's going on, the conspiracy, what is going on. I don't think it had a fulfilling ending because it only had one season, when was quickly canceled, but it's something I would highly recommend. And lastly, Ben, what is your last choice?
My last choice is sort of an unconventional one. That's The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. So Conan took over The Tonight Show from Jay Leno back in 2009, and he only hosted the show for 7 months before he ended up leaving. And it's basically because NBC screwed him over by giving Leno his own show that was basically dropped in right as a lead-in for The Tonight Show, which completely undercuts everything that Conan was trying to do at that time. It was a super dick move on Leno's part, who announced that he was retiring, and it was this whole thing. I'm sure books have been written about it, the late night wars and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know if a sequel to that book exists yet or not, but it was a big deal. Anybody who was paying attention to the late night scene at that time knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I was just bummed to see, I grew up watching Conan, and I loved the idea of him hosting The Tonight Show. It was his dream. He talked about it in such, he held it in such high esteem, and you could tell that he was just getting into his groove at the time when he basically got forced out. So, it all ended up okay. He's on TBS and, he's going strong over there, but, it was just a bummer to see, all of these sort of, bureaucratic machinations, take him, knock him down from one of the highest, most prestigious shows in late night.
Yeah. It's actually funny. Universal Studios in Orlando has this Tonight Show ride with Jimmy Fallon. It's a horrible ride, but the waiting area is 30 Rock. You're in 30 Rock. And in 30 Rock, there is all around it, there's displays of every Tonight Show host in history, and like props and things that, there's a monitor showing their famous skits and like some, parts of their desk and thing, like it's almost like a museum. And then, it gets to Conan O'Brien, who has like a small window because he was like, but a blip in this show's history. And yeah. It's very sad. But, speaking of 30 Rock, Brad, what is your final choice?
Actually, before I get to that, I actually got to go to a live taping of The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, because, I did too.
Yeah, because I was living in California in 2009, and a friend of mine went and waited in line to get tickets, and the guests were Quentin Tarantino and Smokey Robinson.
Nice. I saw Kristen Bell and Edward Norton there.
Nice.
And what was the name of the band? Anvil from Anvil, The Story of Anvil. You remember that documentary? That movie came out, and then they were the musical guests for that episode.
That's pretty cool. So my final pick. This is a good one. Just want you to know. Actually, I just realized that we all kind of we all picked NBC shows for our last round.
Oh yeah.
Because my final pick is Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which was Aaron Sorkin's Saturday Night Live behind the scenes series that had the same walk and talk vibe of The West Wing, but just set behind the scenes of a Saturday Night Live style sketch show. I really loved this show because of how much I love Saturday Night Live. One of the biggest criticisms that the show got was that it seemed like Aaron Sorkin didn't really know how to write the comedy that was supposed to go along with Studio 60, because every now and then they would show pieces of the sketches that they were going to be doing on the show, and they were never really quite up to the same, you know, standards that SNL delivered. I'm sure some of you would be like, well, SNL hasn't been good in years, and I just tell you to die in a fire. the writing was still sharp when it came to the character interactions. Matthew Perry and Bradley Whitford were the executive producers of the show, and it's been one of my favorites for a while. I even bought it because I love it so much, and it was very short lived, and I wish that it would have gotten to stick around, because I feel like it could have really developed into something that was really special.
That show is very underrated. I loved it. I like it more than 30 Rock, and 30 Rock I think is the reason why it doesn't exist anymore. Two shows, of kind of like the same thing from different angles. Obviously, this is a 1-hour drama. 30 Rock is a half hour comedy, I think.
Yeah.
Did Studio 60 get a satisfying ending?
That I don't recall.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember how it ended. That's a good question.
I think
because that's like the big thing for people wanting to know if they should dive into one of these one-off shows is if like there's such a cliffhanger that they're going to be mad, you know, that they spent a full season sort of getting invested or something. But like Terriers is a good example, Peter, of something where it's like that ending. It sucks that show doesn't exist anymore because I loved it too. But that ending actually really works as a good ending for the series, not alone, you know, let alone the season. So I was just wondering. I haven't seen any of Studio 60, so I'm wondering if it would be worth diving in.
You should definitely dive into it. I'm not sure, Brad. When's the last time you watched it? Have you watched it recently?
No, it's been a while since I've watched it.
I'm wondering because it was such about the politics of the time, George W. Bush being in office, and obviously Aaron Sorkin obsessed with that, even though, you know, this is about a TV show that's about improv comedy. You know, it was as political as, I don't want to say as political as Newsroom, but it was up there. It was a lot about what was going on at that time. I do agree that I almost think that they shouldn't have shown the skits. I think that they should have just stuck behind the scenes and let the skits be up to the imagination of the viewer. And I just want to say one last thing. Veronica Mars is a show I loved, and it's a show that got canceled pretty early. They made it a movie that was kickstarted. But I actually feel like it went, as much as I was a fan of that show, it went off at a good time. It clearly didn't know where it was going to go next, I feel like. And there are shows like that I feel like if you had gone a little longer, maybe it wouldn't be as like held in such high esteem. So I just wanted to mention Veronica Mars, even though I love it and it got shut down early. I think we wouldn't like it if it had gone on.
I think you're right, because I think the talk that I heard was there was discussions about maybe doing, I think it was a fourth season about Veronica as an FBI agent, and that it sort of loses a little bit of its appeal. I think, yeah, you're right. It's one of those cases where it sort of the timing ended up working out pretty well, because it sort of kept her in like the high school, college years, you know, for the episodes that we saw. And it's still, you know, even though the movie wasn't very good, the show is still pretty great. So
and I'm going to stop you before you start emailing peter@slashfilm.com. I know we didn't mention Firefly. I know that's probably your pick. We get it. They did a movie. I like Firefly fine, but it's just not on my list. It's not on any of our lists, even though we I'm not sure if you guys like Firefly, but we should acknowledge it.
It was great, but like it seemed like too obvious of a pick. Of course, we all wish Firefly was around. You know, I mean, come on.
Okay. Anyways, find Ben at Ben Pierce on Twitter. You can find Brad at Ethan_Anderton on Twitter. He has a podcast called Go Flix Yourself on iTunes. You can find me at /film on Twitter. As always, send your questions to the mailbag, peter@slashfilm.com. Leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention on the air, like we did with Eric from San Jose, California. Please go to iTunes, give us a review, especially if you like the show. If you don't like the show, send me an email. Tell me why. Tell me what we could be doing better. And we'll see you tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.